I do. So yesterday, the Lord really had his protection around me yesterday. When I left here to go to my other job, I was on I-40, and I went around this one truck. I wasn't speeding. I was going 75. That was the speed limit. Yes. Clarify that first.
You sure it wasn't 75 and a half?
No, it was okay. It was 75, maybe 76. I wasn't going 80 though, okay? Or 90, okay? But I went around a semi and got behind another one and was preparing to exit at Canute Road. The semi, there was one that I got behind as well, and something came off that truck, y'all. And it hit the ground in front of me, and I don't know what it was in that, whatever fell off, but there was like immediately white foamy stuff on the ground.
Wow.
And then the metal that it was in slid all the way to the medium. It landed in front of me and then split. Girl, no, nothing, nothing, nothing. And I think Pastor Dwight had a heads up on something because he was kind of lingering back. He wasn't even doing the speed limit, y'all. I'm going to throw Pastor Dwight under the bus. I love him. But it was like when that happened and I didn't jerk my wheel, it didn't freak me out. I was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what that was, but thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. And I worshiped the rest of the way.
We want to pray for Joe and Neva as they are traveling to Oklahoma City for a doctor's appointment. He's going to have a bone scan on his full body today and a CT on the chest. We want to pray for my friend Robin Franks, who's been diagnosed with a stomach ulcer. And my friend Loretta Pierce, the second attempt to remove the stone from her pancreas was unsuccessful, so they're going to have to schedule another one in the future. I'm praying that it's going to go away on its own. Praying God's going to dissolve it.
Yeah.
And then they also found a polyp that she's going to need to have removed now as well.
Okay. All right. Well, we know God hears and answers our prayers. Father, I just pray that you will meet the needs of these requests. Lord, we know there are others out there that have needs as well, so even as we begin to lift these up to you, we're asking that you would meet the needs for those who are joining us or might be joining us that are upon their hearts. And Lord, just bring a touch. Meet the need, whether it be financial, physical, family, job-related. Lord, will you just ask that you will do what only you can do? Lord, we do pray for Joe and Neva as they're traveling to the city, maybe already there, but Lord, we pray for traveling mercies as they're there and on their way back. As we already heard from Monica, we never know what's going to happen on the highway. And so, Lord, watch over them and keep them safe. Pray that he has this bone scan and the CT, Lord, that first of all, we're just trusting that you're bringing healing to him, Lord, that they're it would be clear, but if there is something there, Lord, that it would reveal and be revealed what needs to be done. Lord, we know that you are the one who ultimately brings healing, no matter what medicine or what chemicals might happen to be used. And so, Lord, we've been praying for Joe. We continue to lift him up. I'm praying that you would walk with him, walk with Neva. Lord, do what only you can do in their situation. We pray for Robin Franks, has been diagnosed with this stomach ulcer. I'm just praying that you would bring healing to that. There would be a miraculous healing that takes place because we know that ulcers can cause a disruption in life. It's hard to go through life when your stomach's hurting, when you feel nausea, when your things are going on, and hard to concentrate and hard to focus. So, Father, I just pray that you'll bring a mighty touch to her. Heal her in only a way that you can, because, Lord, we thank you for doctors and medicine, but again, we say thank you for your healing. We also pray to for Loretta Prayers as they attempt to remove this stone from her pancreas. Lord, it has to be painful for her to have that and to have the attempts that have already taken place fail. It's got to be discouraging. But, Lord, we also know that we are just praying that you will remove this. Pray that you'll remove the stone, remove the pain. You'll bring complete healing to her. Not only for that, but for the polyp. If they do remove that, Father, we pray that there'll be no cancer involved. Everything will come back clear. And, Lord, that you will bring a total healing touch to her body. And, Lord, we say thank you for all the prayers that you hear and answer for each and every one of us every day. Many times, Father, you protect us from things that we never even know about. We want to say thank you. You give us blessings that we oftentimes take for granted. We say thank you. And, Lord, I pray for each one of us that if we have opportunity to share your love with people, that we will seize the opportunity, because it might be the only opportunity that someone really has to hear about your love and to give their life to you. So, Father, open our eyes. Help us to see those people who are hurting, those people who need your love, and to share your love with them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We had one more come in.
We had one more?
Monica's mama, Eva, asked us to pray for Jim Myers.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's pray for Jim. Father, I just want to say thank you again for the opportunity to lift up needs before you. I pray for Jim. I don't know what the need specifically is there, but, Lord, you are aware of that need that Jim Myers has, whether it's physical or spiritual or something going on in life, whatever it happens to be, Lord, we don't need to know. I don't need to know. You were aware of this before it was ever even made known. So, Lord, I'm praying that you will resolve whatever that situation is. Guide and direct. We leave him in your hands and we claim victory for him. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back. The Refuge Church is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school starts at 10, Sunday worship 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study is at 7, Wednesday youth group is at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525. A company that cares.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraged.
We are back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. Our guest for today is Pastor Joe Thompson. His title for this morning is God is Abounding in Love. Before we get back started, would you be kind enough to share information about your church location, times of services, and any other announcements that you
All
have,
right.
sir?
All right, will do. Yeah, we're the Elk City Church of God. We're located at the corner of First and Walker, 501 West First. Again, if you're not very familiar with Elk City, if you go to the west side of Homeland and you turn north on Walker, and go two blocks, you will almost literally run into our building. Mm-hmm. So we'd encourage you to come and visit us if you don't have a church home. We have our services, Sunday schools at 9:45. We have worship at 10:45. We're doing a Monday night Bible study right now. We have two more sessions of that. So if you'd like to come, we start about 5:30 with a meal and then do our study time. We're actually doing a study of 40 Days of Love, talking about love. It's a great study, challenging study. Last week was on forgiveness, so that's a interesting topic. This next Tuesday, we will begin our noon study as well. And we have a light lunch, have Bible study time. We try to finish the main part of it up a little bit before 1. So if you're there, come from work in there, you can get back to work. We usually run longer than that as far as, you know, people visiting and what have you. But you're welcome to come to that as well. Also, just not only for us, but for everyone that is out there, remember, Easter is early this year. So you have Palm Sunday coming up in a week and a half. You have Easter coming up in the last Sunday in March. Also, don't forget, you lose an hour of sleep this Sunday. So don't forget to set your clocks ahead on Saturday night before you go to bed. You'd hate to walk into church and everybody's walking out. just a few reminders there for you. Yeah, we're in a busy time of the year, so I put that out there not only for our congregation but for everyone you know. Don't forget daylight saving times. Don't forget Palm Sunday and Easter. They're all coming up early this year. Great time for us to celebrate the risen Lord. And I don't hardly call Easter anymore. I call it Resurrection Sunday because that's really what it is. And by the way, I'll just say this real quick. You've heard me say it perhaps on this program before, but this is a fact. Jesus won the victory on Friday when he said, "It is finished." The celebration took place a couple of days later when he rose from the grave on Resurrection Sunday. So just keep that in mind, you know. The victory was won on Friday. The celebration took place on Sunday. And even though, you know, Good Friday is a day we remember as it was a dark day, but it was actually when the victory was won. So just keep that in mind. Had a couple of prayer requests come in. Just an update on Jim Myers. It was because of COVID and then AFib. Is that correct? that we need to remember him.
He got COVID. He tested positive for COVID yesterday. He finally went to the ER. And he's had AFib for a minute, I believe, but they just haven't. He hasn't gone to get that taken care
right.
of yet. They're not, I guess, not sure how they're going to handle that yeah. yet. So they wanted to go ahead and keep him overnight.
Right.
Due to the AFib.
Right. And then we've had another prayer request come in for Larry Gaines, who went to the ER last night. So let's remember him in prayer. Father, I just want to lift up Larry before you, and I'm asking that you would be with him. Not sure what the situation was and why he went to the ER, but Lord, again, we don't need to know everything. You are the one who is aware of what's going on in our bodies. You're the one who created us. So there's nothing that happens that you're not aware of. And so I'm just praying that you will bring healing to his body. Whatever the need is, Lord, meet that need. Touch him, lift him up physically. May be able to return home. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we've been talking about God is abounding in love. And we've actually talked about kind of all the background of God abounding in love, the background of it in the Old Testament, God's abounding love that we see to us in the New Testament, which brings us to the application part. God calls us to be abounding in love to others. In other words, we're to show love to everyone. And as we have an opportunity to show love, then we are to take the time to show love. And by the way, generally speaking, you can't show love in passing. Love takes time. Well, in an illustration, Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan. Remember that? The priest and Levite, they're headed down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They see this guy all beaten up on the side of the road, naked, bleeding, most likely, just horrible shape. And they maybe had many reasons, but probably one of the reasons why they didn't help the man is that, man, I don't have time. I got an appointment in Jericho.
Come on.
Exactly.
And that really, you know, all the other reasons, excuses that we give to not show love, ultimately, I think it comes down to, in some cases, or in most cases, to we don't want to take the time. Yeah, we might be scared that the robbers are still around. It might be this man is faking it, and, you know, we're going to be the one lying on the side of the road. It might be all this, but it really comes down to that. We just don't want to take the time. And so they don't take the time to show love. But the Samaritan, he saw the need, and he met it. I mean, he gets off his donkey. He uses his own wine, it says, you know, to pour on the wounds. Says he bandages the man up, probably with strips of cloth from his own clothing. He takes the man down to Jericho, and he pays for him a room, and he tells the innkeeper, which most likely the innkeeper knew him. You know, of course, this is just a parable, remember, but you would assume the innkeeper knew him. Says, "Hey, man, if this doesn't take care of it, when I come back through, I'll pay you the difference." You know, it takes time. I think of, you know, what's going on with the fires there in Texas. That's showing love. That takes time and that takes money. You know, we see trucks loaded with hay, trucks loaded with feed. All these represent time and money that other ranchers and other people are taking time to show love. In a lot of cases, the people that are providing this will never even meet these people because they've hired a truck or they've got other people who are going. So it takes time, though. It takes time to show love. And ultimately, abounding in love is doing whatever it takes to show God's love to those around us. That's what it means to be abounding in love. And we do that to ultimately point people to God. Mm-hmm. One soul brought into heaven is worth whatever the cost is that we pay. I mean, Jesus thought it was worth it when he died on the cross for us. You know, even if there only had been one person, I still believe that Jesus would have died on that cross. And if you don't get anything else out of what I say today, get this. Our job is not to count the cost of bringing one person to Christ, but to count the cost that person will have to pay if we do not give them the opportunity to know Christ.
Come on.
Let me say that again. Our job is not the cost to bring one person to Christ, but to count the cost that person will have to pay if we do not give them the opportunity to know Christ. We can't force them, but we can give them the opportunity. Imagine what it would be like in heaven if you could hear the cries of those in hell. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Why didn't you give me a chance? You can't force people to love God, but you can show God's abounding love and give them opportunity to love him. And so we need to be giving people the opportunity. God gave us the opportunity. We shouldn't be stingy in offering that opportunity to other people.
Amen.
So, a few questions quickly as we close. How have I experienced God's abounding love in my own life? Or have I really experienced God's love in such a way that it makes a difference? Because, you know, God's showing his love to us all the time, but sometimes we ignore it. We just overlook it. I was lucky! No. You know, God's showing his love to us. And if we've experienced his love, maybe we need to follow up with that. What do I need to do to experience his love more fully in my life? What do I need to surrender? What can I give up so that I can experience his love in a greater way? Second question might be, in what ways am I helping others to experience God's love? Am I looking out for myself first or in ignoring the opportunity that God's given me to show love to others, you know, to share his love? We all have a tendency to have the me first. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. Satan convinced them, hey, it's me first. God's just playing games with you. You need to look out for yourself. No, we need to be looking out for others and loving others. What attitudes do I need to change so that I can be open to sharing God's love with other people? You know, my attitude to people who are a different color than I am, my attitude towards people who have a sexual orientation different than I do, my attitude towards those who are on the street, my attitude towards someone who goes to another congregation, you know. I have people come to me from time to time, you know, saying, hey, we're interested in knowing about your church and what it is. And I said, okay, here's what we are. I said, and love to have you. Love to have you come visit. I said, if you find that that's not exactly for you, I said, I'm not going to be offended. I want you to be in church, whether it's our church or not.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually, I visited with a gentleman one time, and he was telling me about, you know, his background and what have you. And I said, hey, come visit us. He came on a week I was gone. That was probably good, you know. I'd already told him before that, I said, you know, hearing your situation and the situation with your family, I think this might be a good fit for you. That's where he's going now.
Oh,
I don't have a problem with that because that's where he needs to be. You know, we can't force people, but we can help people to experience God's love. We can give them advice on where to go. We can just guide them. And then how can I encourage others to share God's love? How can I help them to change their mindset that keeps them from sharing God's love? A lot of times we say, people say, well, I'm scared. I, you know, they might reject me. Guess what? Jesus is rejected too. You're in good company.
It's okay.
I don't know the four spiritual laws. Well, guess what? You don't have to know the four spiritual laws. You know how to share God's love? Tell people your story. Tell people your story. We call it testimony in church circles, but basically it's telling your story. And you don't have to, I do encourage people, you know, to kind of put their story together, but you don't have to have your story from A to Z. In fact, you're probably not going to tell your story to someone A to Z the first time you're visiting with them. But just tell them your story of where you were at, how you came to know Christ. Your story might just be telling them where you were at and now you're different. That's all you get in at that point in time. It takes time, people. We need to be careful that we don't find those people who don't know God and throw them down on the sidewalk and drop the 50-pound family Bible on them, like I've said before. Tell them they need to be saved because they're going to go, yeah, I need to be saved from you. But tell them your story and share a little bit more of your story as you get the opportunity. Help them to see the opportunities that they have to display God's love to those around them. That's basically what you have to do. So remember this. God's love is so great for us that it cost him the life of his son. And thankfully, Jesus is willing to lay down his life so that we don't have to pay the price for our sin. We're not doomed to hell. And thankfully, he rose from the dead so that we can experience that life not only here, but eternal life. That's why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. True love is expressed more through what you do than what you say. We need both. But if what you say doesn't match up to what you do, you're lying. Walk alongside someone in their difficulty. Lift them up. Point the way. Celebrate with them in their victories. Be with them in their sorrows. No matter what. How great their sorrow is, no matter how great their victory is, be with them. True love is basically being there when no one else is there. And remember that ultimately God's abounding love is for everyone. Our responsibility is not to make everyone experience God's great love in their life. Our responsibility is to give everyone the opportunity to experience God's great love.
Amen.
We need to remember that. We get caught up in trying to make everyone experience God's great love. That's up to them. Our responsibility is to give them the opportunity to experience God's great love. And if they respond positively, then of course, lead them in that direction, in that relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, that story I began with, Russell Hamner, mm-hmm. or not Russell Hamner, Russell Herman. Mm-hmm. His will promised to leave money that he didn't have to make a difference. As a result, I'm not sure how much difference was made from that 1983 Oldsmobile. But we, on the other hand, can leave God's love, which has been given to us, and we can place that in the lives of others, that can make a difference for all of eternity. God's abounding in great love. We need to be abounding in his love and sharing it with others. That's all I got, folks.
Amen, amen. I've learned, Pastor Joe, I've learned personally that, and God's so sweet, I do things personally that I'm sure he kind of don't care for. We'll put it like that. I still have changes to make. But is what's so awesome on the way here this morning, the Lord just reminded me of how he doesn't love sin. He doesn't like sin. But he loves his children, period. And who am I to go around and beat people with his word? It's my responsibility. It is my responsibility to learn how to hate sin, my sin, hate my sin, hate the sin, but love the people, love myself, love other people, and try to help them understand that it doesn't matter where you're at. If you call on Jesus, he will save you. All you have to do is humble yourself. And that for me was a hard thing to do. It took a lot for Monica to humble herself. And he was so faithful. And he continues to be faithful and just in my life. I believed in Jesus my whole life. Ever since I was a little girl. What I had a problem with was receiving, believing and receiving that Jesus did that even for me. Because I was convinced that I did too much, that I was too far away. I ran too far in rebellion to God. I ran from my Jesus hard and fast. But the beautiful thing is, you can't run away from him. Mm-hmm. He's always there. And he pursues. And it finally clicked that, hey, he did do that even for me. Mm-hmm. Even for me, he did that. So I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're doing. And frankly, it's none of my business. But I can tell you right now, honestly, Jesus loves you. God loves you. Jesus did do it for you also.
Right.
And we love you.
Yeah. Well, remember this. God loves you where you're at, but he loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you where you're at.
Amen. I'm so glad I'm not where I used to. Woo. Woo. Thank you, Lord. I am not where I used to be. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all have been tuned into the Hour Power. Would you like to end us in prayer, sir?
I will do that. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings to us. And Lord, may we take the love that you have given to us, your abounding love, and may we share it with others. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. from all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Joe Thompson. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time. Stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.